The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
To Motivation and Muscle streaming radio 24/7, and today, believe it or not, is the 7th of November 2016. Go out to motivationandmuscle.com. Let me think here what we want to do first. You want to go out there and download the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle and our free ebook Power Month 30 Day. Both loaded with content, both free. All you have to do is leave your email address, and we go from there. Also, go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. We have our good friend Logan Christopher on today, and we'll bring Logan in momentarily. Go out and just look at all the shows I've done with Logan. There's a mass quantity. I don't know anybody that's got more content out there than us as far as podcasting goes. There might be somebody, there probably is, but I only know by what people have come in and looked at here when we were going to hire them or not, and they could not believe not only the content here, but my blog. I think we've got over 4,000 articles alone on my blog, and we haven't really blogged much in the last 3 months. But go out there, check out all the information. I guarantee you there won't be much you can't find. And if you can't find it, get a hold of us at FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com, and we'll do everything we can to accommodate you on that. Well, like I said, we got Logan on with us today, and I'm going to give you a little information on this gentleman. Number one, he's a writer, strongman, owner of Superman Herbs, and Legendary Strength. And I'm going to bring Logan right in. Before we bring Logan in, we're going to talk about quitting. Wait till you hear this. I can't name names, and I'm sure Logan can tell you a lot about it. But when I said to him, what do you think about quitting? He was like, I don't like it. So, Logan, welcome back, brother.
Yeah, good to be back. It's been too long.
Hell yeah, man. You sound good. It's good to have you back on the show. Give out any of the websites, anything I didn't say on behalf of you, and we will get started, please.
Sure. Yeah, you mentioned Superman Herbs, and I guess it's been a little while. We've gone through our rebranding and name change, little trademark issue with the Superman part, so we are now Lost Empire Herbs.
Okay.
And that's at lostempireherbs.com. If you still go to supermanherbs.com, it redirects you to the new site, so people can check it out either way there.
Okay.
And also legendarystrength.com. Been doing lots of fun stuff over there with using hypnosis for strength, and yeah, been having some great results with that.
Maybe we'll have to get into a show about that. Maybe we'll see how long this one goes, and maybe if you want to touch upon that or anything that's new going on with Lost Empire, because I don't know if you've got new formulas or whatever, but you know, and I know we both usually catch you up on that stuff too. But let's talk about something that I witnessed firsthand here a few weeks ago, quitting. And, you know, we already said when I said the topic to you, the remark, and it was great because, no, I don't like it, but quitting. What I'm sure you've seen it. I don't know how much you've been around it. I would assume not much, if any. Define quitting to you, number one, and tell me any experiences you've had with it.
Well, so quitting, it's a interesting thing, because there is a time and a place to quit,
right?
But there's lots of times and places not to quit.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to understand the difference, though I guess it's not always the most clear thing out there. Because if you're doing something and you're not getting the results that are promised, right?
Yep.
Or and, you know, this could be for a number of reasons. Maybe you're just following a bad program or bad ideas. Then, yeah, there's a time to quit. But here's the thing. There's a difference between taking that as feedback and then trying a different approach versus just straight up quitting, giving up. You know, I'm not going to do anything regarding this at all at mm-hmm. that point. So I'd say that's the real way that I define quitting, is when you, like, give up completely mm-hmm. at something.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I told you before we came on, I've had it for the first time, and It was mainly two individuals that just decided they didn't want to do anymore, whether it was an excuse or, you know, at this point, the way when I watch, you know, you and I both know when you train people and you've had them around you for a while, I can read them real quick when I walk up on them for the day before we've even started. You know, as they say, the eyes are basically the window to the soul. I believe that because, man, you can tell an awful lot by somebody's eyes, you know, especially if you've been around them. I've been around some people. I've been training long enough. You know, I've seen a lot of stuff, and a lot of it, you know, I don't care for, number one. Number two, I won't associate with it because I think it's very detrimental to how you are. It can affect you and what you're doing. And thirdly, I understand the whole thing. I've had people have come here, you know, the programs didn't work to what they wanted, or I didn't feel that they came up to the bar high enough. And it was just something that not everybody can subscribe to what you want, nor you can subscribe to maybe what they want too. But I've never seen in all the years I've trained individuals quit, literally. And I never want to repeat that, and I never want to see that again, because that upset me to the point where I was like, I won't say it's affected me. Well, I think it has in some ways. I've never subscribed to anything like that, no matter what's happened to me. I've always tried to stay true to my beliefs. Hey, look, people know I've talked about some of the stuff that's happened to me in the month of October with just the business, and there were days in the business where if there was ever a time to bow out and quit, it was then. It was that bad because of some software that was corrupt that could have ended up killing my business. Luckily, I had a backup, but it took 4 days to come back. Things of that nature, which for anybody that's never dealt with, if you ever get crippled like that, you can be out of business. So I wouldn't turn my back on it, and I could have quit real easy then. And I've never been that kind of guy. I love what I do. I appreciate what I do. I appreciate the people around me who work with me, who share things. But when I saw that, I still think about that. That was a few weeks ago, and I'm like saying to myself, what would propel someone who's been here for over a year and a half to suddenly just come up empty and give you the look like, I don't really give a shit, you know what I mean? And I'm the kind of guy that will not put up with that kind of stuff. You know, I'll go right back to you in 1 second, Logan. With me, I put everything I have into people, and probably then some. And I have an awful lot of stuff going on business-wise, training-wise right now, and I'm very conservative with my time now. I used to be a lot looser and freer with it, but now schedules demand things of me I never had before. So when I have someone or a group of people that don't want to propel themselves further, you have two things you can do. You can give them another shot, which I always believe in, but if their performance gets good for a few weeks and you run into the same wall again, it's time to say goodbye. Because I have a reputation, number one, that I want to keep intact and be a guy that when they speak my name, it's only good as far as training goes. And secondly of all, you know, when you quit, it affects everything in your life. You might not think now at 15 or 45, a guy 45 should know better. But a young kid, they're always going to say, well, they're young. Well, you know, what you do today formulates tomorrow and then years and decades down. So if you get into a pattern of this, well, you're not going to like what your life's going to be. Now, I've said it. Take it, Logan. And comment, develop, whatever you want to do here.
Yeah. Well, this question kind of gets me thinking back, right? You know, I've obviously been involved in physical culture for a while now, but when I first got started, I was introduced to the commercial bodybuilding, commercial gym scene, right? That was the only thing I was exposed to. And, you know, I'm one of the classic hard gainers, and you could definitely say that the programming, the things I was following were not good, workable things that really get results that well. And, you know, my heart really wasn't in it at that time. So there were points thinking back, and you know, that was like a decade and a half ago, so a ways back. But there was periods where I wouldn't do it, so I'd quit for a while and then come back at it. But the thing is, I was not really getting results at that point. It was not working for me. So I was, you know, working hard. I was putting in this time and energy into something, and the returns just weren't there. It wasn't until actually I found out about bodyweight exercises, and it's not that the bodyweight exercises are magical. A lot of people get caught on that idea. It's that along with that, I kind of learned about the principles of progressive training and how you can really work with something. And so the bodyweight exercises was a good piece of that, but it was really, I found the keys that I actually began to get results. And once I got results, then that just further reinforced in me that I wanted to do this. Now, thinking about like quitting exercising at this point, I mean, it's anathema to me. It's, I can't even comprehend it, because one, if I don't exercise for a period of few days, you know, I start feeling depressed. So it's something that I need to do physically. Obviously my career is kind of tied into it, so I'm going to do it for that purpose. But even if that was not there, if that wasn't a component, I would still be doing these same things. Maybe there's some slight differences, because, you know, sometimes I like to show off, but essentially I would be doing the exact same stuff, even if my career was not built around this. But I think in that story, there's an important point. You really do need to start seeing results with something, because before that point, you know, there might be a time to quit, because if it's not working, you really shouldn't be wasting your time, energy, money in doing something. But if you can start to get that success, that's really what builds in the loop that's going to reinforce everything that you're doing, until you get to the point where, you know, you couldn't even not do the thing.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with you. But the thing is, when you've been with somebody and you've seen results on both gentlemen, and for whatever reason or whatever excuse, they suddenly decide to pull back and say, you know what? You know what it'd be like, Logan? It'd be like, I came over and you were going to teach me some real good methodology with kettlebells, right? Because I've done them, but I don't have the extensive, you know, resume that you do with them. And I'm saying, hey, look, I want to go do this next year. I've been told that they're the way to go. Would you help me out? You say, yeah, come on over tomorrow. Great. And you know what I do, and you would expect me to come there and be there on time, be ready to go. Not a lot of bullshit when we're training, all that stuff, other than questions, maybe a few cracks, that's about it. But suddenly if I got halfway through there and you knew that I wasn't a one-year rookie, that I've been training for a few decades here, maybe not with kettlebells, but you know I know what this is about, and suddenly I pulled up short on you, I don't think you'd be real happy with me, because number one, my reputation would be finished then, because you would say, hey, Eric's a phony, man. You know, he comes here, he works for 20 minutes, he's out of gas, or he's looking at me like, you know, like starry, and, you know, like, it's almost like you get in a fight, you know, you get hit so hard, man, you got the old glass eyes, and you got that dreamy look, like, you know, what would you say to me? You'd be like, what the hell's the matter with you, man, and why are you wasting my time, and why'd you come here? And that's what I saw in that day. It was like, I didn't see the thing, like, carry me, because I was not going to do that. I was too mad at that point. And it was the first time that whenever I've trained with somebody, Logan, that I lost my temper on him. I yelled at these guys, where I think if they took a step towards me, they would have been through the ground, literally. I was that incensed about it. Now, some people would say in today's day and age, well, Eric, you know, you're awful hard on people and you got to worry about their feelings and all that. Let me tell you something. You come back and train with me, you're going to be treated like a man or a woman. I'm not going to mistreat you. I am not going to abuse you. But I'm not going to be afraid to call you out and give you shit, all right? Because then we're wasting each other's time. And I don't want to do that with anybody, and I don't want you to waste your time with me. So this is why, you know, when I was thinking yesterday when I sent you the note about coming on today, I thought this would be kind of right up your alley, because you've been around enough in the weightlifting, and we're not just talking kettlebell. You know, Logan's been involved with all the heavy rack work, strongman, stone carrying. So the guy's been around. He knows a little bit of – he's seen multiple athletes. So am I off the beam here about being so dedicated and passionate, or am I living now like everything else where don't be mean, don't expect as much as you should, drop your expectation, all that? I'll tell you before I shift to you, I'd rather cut my head off than become that. I'd be no good to you. So take it away.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. If a person's just going to quit out of the blue, you have to think, you know, what else is occurring in their life? You know, they've been having success with it and it's been working for them and they've been doing it a period of time, then it's not really about the workouts themselves, right? It's got to be something else that's going on. And I think oftentimes that's really what is going to cause a person to quit, you know, some other stressors in their life and some different thing. Because you and I both know this, and, you know, the research backs this up. If you are regularly working out, right, it's supporting your health. It's giving you more energy. It's doing all these things. Even though you got to put in a certain amount in order to get that out, anyone that's done it for a little bit of time knows that that's there. So to just quit exercising overall and completely, you know, I don't know these people you're talking about. If they're going on to do something else, they just decided a different route, or if they're just really quitting completely, and you know that may happen for a time, but like, moving is not something you can quit, right? it's really a case of use it or lose it. And this applies to all different sorts of movement. You know, if you don't squat down ass to the grass, then you lose your ability in order to squat down like that, right?
Yeah.
And so I've seen lots of old people complain, oh, I can't move like I used to. It's because you don't move like you used to that you can't move like you used to.
Right.
And you can always work to regain it wherever you're at. You know, if you start working within your current capabilities, are going to be able to improve. You know, of course, there's exceptions to this, like a paraplegic, but, you know, that's a far extreme case. So it's, you really have to understand, like, this is a lifelong thing. Like, you can't quit. To quit is to, well, I guess this is not politically correct, but, you know, some people are better than other people.
Oh, yeah.
But truthfully, I mean, if we can lay it on the line, it's not politically correct, but, you know, if you're not going to take care of yourself, then you're not going to be able to really take care of other things. And really, just foundational human movement.
Yeah.
I'm not saying not everyone wants to pick up rocks or do all these crazy things, but you can do something, or you're not going to be able to function well. The human machine will no longer function.
And I totally agree with you, because you hit it right on the nerve. You know, look, we're not politically correct here. We're not nasty to people. That's not my pitch. But, you know, if you want to ride and, you know, and be like when we were talking about, there's just, you know, we've been pushing the big book called Becoming a Barbarian by Jack Donovan. And I'm trying to get him on the show. And this is building your tribe, your manliness. And, you know, Logan, like everybody else on here, I consider them all family. I've never met Logan. I've never met Harley. I think I've met one or two people on the show. Eventually, I hope to meet them all. But what I've tried to do here from day one is this. Put something out that is not bringing you down. Put something out that's in a positive light. Put something out that gives you the ability, even if it's something you decide you don't want to do, you can understand how to do things. And if not, you can contact me. You can contact Logan. You're not going to get any BS, all right? And that was the whole point of Motivation Muscle from the beginning. And Logan and I have gone over his book and other things that he's produced, and especially with the mental stuff. We went over just about his whole book, I believe, or half of it, a long time ago on the show. Logan, I don't remember the name. I apologize. Say the name of the book because I want people to know. Mental Muscle. Okay. So we went over that, you know, that book. And if you've heard, even before we talked about his book, Logan and I have done a lot of stuff on the mental challenges and how to formulate ways to become better than what you are, how to exceed this negative thought patterns, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, I'm working on a book right now. It's just going to be a chapter book called Mental Scrimmage. But it's going to be different. It's going to be like from the pit outside back there, which it's very going to be very twisted in a whole different way. Neither here nor there with it. But the thing is, I want to stress, and I said this early on in the show, if you create a pattern of quitting, this is going to follow you around the rest of your life. And I'm telling you right now, it is very easy nowadays to give things up. They encourage it, I believe. I've seen it in kids in school. If it gets too damn hard, you can quit. If my son or daughter ever came home and said something like that to me, they'd probably get a boot up their ass, and then I'd get arrested by Child Protective, and I couldn't do anything anymore. I don't mean that literally, but they would be talked to in a way that might upset them a little bit, you know, and then they could have a teacher call and say that I'm mean, you know, like I really give a shit.
I think this is important because the first thing I said is like there is a time and a place to quit. So what we're talking about here has to do with mental toughness.
Yeah.
We can look at mental toughness when, like, let's say you're just carrying a stone and you've got a certain distance to carry it and your entire body's screaming at you. And just for that one exercise right there, you need to have a certain mental toughness for that. And it's very much the same, the kind of mental toughness you need to go out and start a business and keep going through the damn obstacles and to keep going with it. Mental toughness, it's not like not a simple thing. It's really a set of beliefs and attitudes that you have that you're resilient, you're able to bounce back. And in both these cases, right, there's a time to quit. You know, your body, I'm a huge proponent of listening to your body, right?
Yeah, so sure.
You're carrying that stone and everything's screaming at you. Being able to understand the difference between like, oh, this real hard sucks to do, and I'm about to break something.
Yep.
You know, that you learn to tell the difference between those signals. So you don't want to quit in that first case when your body's just screaming at you and just wants to be lazy and lounge on the couch. But you do before something breaks, right? If your body's giving you that signal.
Sure.
So same sort of things, you know. Maybe the model you're working with is not working and you need to try a different approach. It's not quit entirely. You're not going to stop exercising because you got to a pain point. You're going to find another way. You're going to come back to it tomorrow. So mental toughness, there's these different facets of it. And, you know, a lot of people, there might be some people that is like are more naturally mentally tough, just like there's people that are more naturally stronger than others. But it is a skill set. It can be cultivated. It can be grown. Just like movement, you start with where you're at, you see where you want to go, and you start building towards that.
I agree, because I'll tell you, you and I both know, you end up, you know, you have pulls, you have strains, you have this. I've had, I sprained my SI joint from going so damn heavy, too low off the rods. I know it. I think that's what caused it. Maybe not. I don't know. Weird things sometimes happen, and you don't have, you don't know. You could say, well, it was the other night I trained. Well, how the hell do I know? So anybody that's ever had that, you go down and you try a dead stop squat. That's pretty sore. If not, then it's going to be sore like the next day for sure. I don't feel I'm doing any damage. I've been going and getting follow-ups every week. You know, it's getting better and better. What do? You lay off? Well, if it's that bad, yeah, you do lay off. But you know something? Like a lot of people tell you, and I'm not into the pain and gain crap. You know, there's going to be pain. But when you have pain or you got something hurting, best to work around it. Maybe back off it. Maybe take a few extra days off. You know, maybe go get massage or heat or whatever you're doing. All right? But the point of the matter is, like Logan said, you just don't quit. You don't belly up on anything, because I'll tell you right now, these are the things that you do and you get through which build that mental tenacity they're always talking about, that ability to endure, to be able to keep taking everything they've got and keep coming back harder. It's not cliche. It's not Rocky movies. It's not any of that. Put yourself in uncomfortable situations and see what you're really made of. There's too much of this pansy shit going on out there now where the least little thing, you go and have someone look at it right away because, oh, my God, you know, and we live in a world like that now. I mean, you could have a hangnail and they take you to the hospital and think you had a broken finger, all right? You know, look, I'm not saying be unsensible about things, but there's some things, man. I mean, look at one day we were training in a gym, and we were doing overhead, cleaning presses with 2-inch dumbbells. I never let anybody load my shit, not unless I know them for years. Guy said, I'll tighten that up. I didn't check it. That was my fault. I blew this big dumbbell over the head, and one end popped. Eesh. And if you've never seen plates dump off a bar, I hope you never do. Well, when it came and whipped back at me, which is amazing, it didn't break my hand or wrist. It took the top of my finger, and blew the fingernail right off and tore. I thought I'd have to go to the hospital, but it tore a pretty good spot through the top of my finger. So what do? We went in the back. We always carried a first aid kit. Put it on there. I said, I'll take my chances. If it starts bleeding through, then I know I got to get stitches. 2-3 days later, everything overlaid on each other. Yeah, it was sore as hell and bruised, but I made it through there. Now, did I quit? Hell no, man. It's like, this thing's going to get well, and I'm going to go back, and I'm going to tighten the collars on and do it again. This is what you have to do to resolve a lot of these things. And my thing is this. I'll get right to you, Logan. I was talking to my mother about this one day when this all happened because it really bothered me, man. And she said to me something that was very interesting. She said, when you and your brothers and your friends came over here to train, you guys are totally different from, not that she's been around a ton of weightlifters, but enough. She goes, you were a lot different than anybody that you were ever involved with, outside of here. And I said, in what way? She said, as young as I can remember, you 10 or 11 years old starting, no matter what, you would always find a way to do it. You didn't have a lot of money. Your father and I couldn't afford to go buy a gym or a big, huge weight set or pay for your own. You went out and worked. You went to gyms. You started buying your equipment. You started learning more and more. She goes, I'm not going to tell you to drop your expectations because I know you're not that kind of guy. But she goes, you got to realize that not everybody's going to be like you guys. And, like the guys on the show, like yourself and Bud and all these guys, they kind of stand out from the circle. They can get along with everybody, but they're not the same, in my opinion, okay? And I think that's a gift. But the thing is, Logan, I'm never going to be able to do is drop my standards for money when it comes to outside training. It'll never happen. And go ahead. Give me anything you got on that.
Yeah, you were talking about injuries, and I think that's an excellent thing to look at when we're talking about quitting because a lot of people, when they have an injury, they'll use that as an excuse to quit,
Yeah.
One, like if you injure, say, your hand like you did, right? Maybe your hand is laid up and the best thing to do is not use it for a little while, right? So you don't do that. But that can be opportunity to refocus on something. So maybe it's like, okay, I can't use my hands. I'm going to focus much more on legwork or something else that I can do during this time. So you can actually get benefit out of having had an injury by just changing your perception a little bit. But here's the thing, like people, we're always trying to make rational decisions, even though they're not rational. They're very irrational oftentimes.
Yes.
And it's not that we're rational beings. We rationalize things, right? So a person may use an injury as an excuse in order to quit and still feel good about themselves, right? Because no one really thinks I'm a quitter.
No.
Right? No one takes that. I'm sure there's a few people, but no one makes their self-image like, I'm a quitter, I quit everything. No one goes about that, so no one thinks of themselves as a quitter. Yet we've probably all quit certain things at some point. So there has to be some sort of rationalization we can do. And I know that injuries is one of the ones that is really often used with exercise. A person hurts themselves and they can no longer go to the gym, they don't do their thing, and they allow that to just derail them.
Oh, yeah.
So it's very important to be able to change the perception. I like to look at injuries from the frames like, oh, I have another opportunity here to heal myself.
Yes.
That's a much more useful frame. It gets you thinking, okay, what can I do in order to overcome this? When like, oh, I got a bum shoulder now. I can't do X, Y, and Z anymore, which is how most people think. And that stops them doing because they get a few of these different injuries. Then all of a sudden, they're no longer able to move. So their movement quality keeps descending further and further. Now, because I listen to my body and I train smartly, I've learned a few things. I don't really injure myself much anymore, which is a good thing. But anytime that something comes up like that, that is the thing I try to go to first, thinking like, oh, not woe is me, but what can I do about this now? And the human body is quite good at healing. So if you do the right things, then there's so many things we can do, right? From exercise to topical treatments, massage, all sorts of different things coming out. So many different opportunities we have. no one's tried them all, right? You say, no. Oh, I've tried everything. Everyone says that, right? That's a favorite quote, but no one actually has tried it all. There's a lot of stuff out there. So keep at it. You got to keep that positive attitude. And, you know, what if it is the 122nd thing that you try that is the tumbling block that gets you back to where you were before? So just keep at it. That's the thing. You can't quit even if you have an injury or other similar sort of setbacks.
No, and you're right. You're spot on because, you know, when I tore my bicep, okay, I couldn't do stuff. What am I going to do now to get this thing besides having it fixed? How am I going to get through the mental end of it the first time? I've told everybody, the first time I touched a bar to do a curl, I put it down right away because the first thing I thought, I hope it held together. It did hold together. Then I learned, well, while I was out, you know, I got a chance to formulate. What do I want to do? You know, there's another instance I could have quit. That was the only traumatic injury I've ever had. I've been so lucky in all the years I've trained. Of course, I've had bang-ups and pulls and all, like everybody. If you don't, you're not in it at all. But you also want to be smart and try to avert as much of that as possible. But I remember, you know, I think I've said this, and I'll say it again. When we were in Reykjavik, in the hospital, I didn't even care if my arm was falling off. The first thing I said to the doctor, am I ever going to be able to lift again? I think a lot of guys have said that because I've had other guys talking to me about injuries, and that was their first question. Now, most people say, boy, that's a pretty selfish individual. I would totally disagree with you. That's an individual that's got an awful lot into themselves and many, many years of work and many, many years of loving and taking good care of themselves, because we all know health comes now to me before everything. I never used to think of that in that regard. But if I don't have my health, I don't lift weights, I don't lift stones, I'm no good to my girlfriend, I'm no good to my family. And if something ever arises, which I hope it doesn't, where I have to use my strength and power, what the hell good am I if I can't move? All right, so that was the first thing. So, you know, when I had that injury, I had to think about, Eric, are you going to come back? Do you want to go back to Iceland? Do you want to make good on that stone, all that? Well, my personality, if you know me, is going to tell you the guy's probably going to run through a wall to go do it, and I would. All right, we're talking next year again. We should be on our feet very well here, building our financial resources. I've had a great invitation by Martin Janzicks, who's one of the greatest stone lifters from Scotland. He wants to do a tour, and if we want to, we might announce it where we are going to invite anybody who wants to come. We want to meet in June in Iceland. Then he's going to take us to every famous site in Scotland. And some you don't even know, because they just did a big thing with Bill Crawford and Rogue where they went places in Iceland where these stones were always rumored. David Webster was there. We lost Peter Martin this year, but he was involved in a lot of it too, I believe. So he wants to take us all there. And then there's famous stones in Wales. So, I mean, that it would be a trip. That would be a two-week trip of a lifetime. So that's what I'm putting all my energy into now, with the idea we'll be leaving in June. But I wouldn't even be thinking about things like that now. I wouldn't even be doing this show. I wouldn't even be talking. I know of Logan, but I never would have talked to him. So all these things, sometimes when they look the worst to you, look what sprouted out of all that stuff. Job loss, injury, ups and downs of the business, holding on by the skin of your teeth, and are you going to make it next month? All these things, and here we are today, like a lot of the individuals who own businesses here, and I'm proud of all of them, and I'm proud of myself. I mean, this all came out of it could have been failure, quitting, and be done with it, but the majority, everybody I know associate here, obviously I don't know every up and down they've had, but if they're doing stuff like I am, I know they've had them. And that's when you really see what kind of metal you have in you. And sometimes, I hate to say it, these things are all a blessing to you. And I know that sounds insane, but it's failure, I believe, now equals success. Quitting is the worst thing you can do to yourself. I had a good friend of mine. He was quite a lifter. Had the back issues, never bounced back from it, never. And whatever happened to him, too, mentally and psychologically, was the first time, second time, he'd go heavy, he'd be all right, and then suddenly he'd pull up lame with something. Now, Am I saying it was all physical? I think he had some physical stuff, but he never skimped on trying this piece, that piece, this piece. I mean, he was a guy that was a smart guy. But I think what happened to him, and I'll get, this is going to be right up your alley with quitting and everything, Logan. He just never recovered mentally. And I know people say to you, you can. But I seen an athlete, I'm talking an Olympic lifter that was world class, and I saw an injury and then maybe a repeat of it, and it broke him. I mean, what it snapped something mentally in him. Where this guy, you talk about a mental giant, as I call him, to this day, we've talked about it a million times. I don't know what happened to him, man. And I don't want to say that he quit or he didn't have the will anymore, because if that was the case, he sure had me fooled. And I trained with him for years, man. He was incredible. So go ahead, Logan. I mean, it's something that really, you know, you don't hear people talk a lot about quitting and addressing this because people don't want to own up to it. But I felt that this subject matter, not only what we're talking about today, we can develop it more. But go ahead, Logan. Take it. Yeah. It's yours.
One of the sort of ideas I live my life by is there's no failure, only feedback.
Yep.
And this comes from NLP. Actually, it came before that, but they use that as one of their presuppositions. And what it means is, it's pretty clear, right? There is no failure. Any time you fail, that's just feedback on what doesn't work. You know, the common story that's often used is Thomas Edison, you know, tried 10,000 different things in order to find what would work for a filament that would work for the light bulb. And he didn't look at each of those 10,000 times as a failure. He looked at it. It was an experiment. He found what didn't work. That got him one step closer towards the next goal. And as you were saying, the failures is often where we learn so much more than when we're successful with something, right? If we're successful, then, you know, we may attribute it to any sort of different thing. But it's that failure where we really can, if we choose to, that's an important thing. We can look at failure as, oh, it's failure. And often people, if they fail at something, then they're going to quit because they take that failure personally.
Yep.
They generalize it to mean like, oh, I failed at this one time. That means I'm always going to fail at it. And so that they don't work at it. If I had done that with exercise in the beginning, just because, you know, like several years of trying and I didn't see much in results, there may have been times where I gave up a little bit, but I came back to it. And eventually I found something which led to many different things that worked really well. So I saw it as feedback on, okay, you know, I was not made for this commercial bodybuilding thing. That's not the approach for me, though it may work for some people. And that's the thing. So you can't look at things as a failing, but what can you learn from them in order to do something better? So same sort of thing in business. You know, I've had businesses that fail, right? So many of them do. Different ideas that I've tried. I'm kind of the opinion you throw a bunch of stuff at the wall, see what sticks, and then go with that. And that's what I've done. It's taken me over a decade. You know, I'm doing pretty well business-wise now, but I have certainly gone through my share of downs in that period getting to this place. Some big failures, some things that, like, you know, I'm banging my head against the wall because it's really hard. And, you know, if I knew all that I'd have to go through to get to this point, would I have done it in the first place? You know, hard to say for sure. There's definitely a lot of work in there, but that's the thing. I never stopped going forward. And really, that's what it takes to not quit, right? You just keep, you've got to be persistent. You got to be consistent with what you're doing. And eventually, one day, you're going to be able to look back and be like, damn, I got pretty damn far with this.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Logan, this is what I want to ask you, too. You know, obviously, you know, you're being very upfront. And I am too with all the stuff with business, and I probably say more than I should, but the reason why I do this is because I believe in entrepreneurship. Obviously you do, or you wouldn't be still going.
Yep.
And I try in a very positive way to encourage people that, you know, maybe they still got a job, they're sitting on the fence and they're like, you know, I'd like to do something those two guys do. You know, maybe I want to be a writer. Maybe I want to write some books on physical culture, go out and research some of the old timers, et cetera, et cetera. So I always try to be very, very encouraging. But I also want to be blunt, honest with you, too.
Right.
You've got to have a resolve in you like nothing else. And I'm telling you, Logan, I'll go right back to him. He just kind of told you, 10 years. You can't be faint of heart with this, and you can't get discouraged easily, believe me. You have to, if the answer is no, you have to say yes 500 times to override no, all right? Right. And this is the way things are. And you know, October with the business for me, as everybody knows that's been listening to the show, was hell. From equipment failures, you know, not my problem. You know, Time Warner, who's our provider here for internet, routers going down the tubes. Skype down the tubes. Pamela, which I recorded, I'm using a different recorder. They never resolved it. I would say I was on with Logan. I think we did a show. It said it was recording. I go back to play it. There was not a thing on either end. You want to talk about pissed off? Yeah. Pissed off and you know what you get? You can't talk to a human being. They're in Germany, so you're lucky if you hear back with them in 5 days. Well, I got a business here, and I have to be up to make money. All right. And then we get near the end of the last month, and I've got a problem with Windows Office 2016. So they send me a fix, and it's corrupt. So I lose my system, and we don't know if we're going to be able to recover it. I mean, I had a backup from the week before. But the problem was this was in a loop where I couldn't get to a thing and they couldn't get to a thing. And that's pretty scary when the potential for your hard drive could be eaten alive with nothing. And when you're talking to people halfway around the world and you're having language, barriers, it does not make for a good 4 days. Well, finally, we got to the point where they could get in. They were able to restore the system. And we were back up. Now, that was 4 days I was down. That means no interviews, no podcasts up, no nothing. That is a business crippler, all right? Am I looking for different ways now? Yes, we are looking at a new product called RingR, which will replace Skype. We'll use Skype as a backup. This is run by a lot of professional podcasters out there that do much more than I do. And basically, it's in the cloud. And all I'm going to need is an email address from you, and I dial you up that way, and you get prompts. We connect, and away we go. I can bring the storage, obviously, over here if I want, or I can keep the shows with them. They don't charge me for it. We should know within the next 3 weeks if that's going to be the new way we're going to do things. Of course, that's going to be kind of a bump in the road for some people. But this product is so damn easy to download. It's incredible. It gets rid of Pamela. It gets rid of Skype. And it gets rid of the Skype Recorder Pro I'm using right now. So what I'm doing here, like everybody does, is as you grow, and we've kind of gone through a massive growth spurt here in the last 2.5 months, you have to find ways to be able to survive and become better. Because my whole dream with this, not only with the products, but the show. The show is what I've always wanted to do. You know, I'm having the ability to maybe move into other areas with it. And I want to deliver the best show to not only our guests and our family and our extended family. Those things matter to me. And I know a lot of people, you know, maybe, you know, as long as we get through it. Well, with me, nothing is getting through it. We do a good job. The best job we can, and that's the same way with lifting too. I'm not saying I'm perfect at all. I'm far from it, but I subscribe a little deeper, and I think a lot of people, because it's an honor for me to do this. It's an honor to be able to go out and weight train. I don't think a lot of people think about that. We kind of take it for granted, myself included, and I was thinking about this the other night, Logan. I was like, Let's put some more fun back into weight training again. You know, we know our goals and we know we got to get out there. But, you know, at times, I'm speaking me, I can be just a little bit too serious with things. I know you have to, especially when you're lifting big things. But I was thinking back to the earlier days when we were still lifting big things, man, but we were having a hell of a lot better time with it. And I think a great way to breed success is to have a better time with it and even appreciate it more, because you know what? 20 years from now, I'm not going to be lifting big, heavy stones anymore. I know that. And I might not want to be anyway. So appreciate the time you got now. I mean, enjoy it, share it. Go ahead, man, take it.
Yeah, I agree. That's very important to have fun with your training. And any time when you are being like too serious and it's more of a drag, you know, that's a pretty good sign. You should shake things up a bit.
Yeah.
Just, you know, it can be something simple like one day a week you just do something random and fun, and you know, it's not scheduled and strict or anything like that. That can be a great way to break the monotony if that creeps into your training. One thing I wanted to say that's really important, that what I think really helped set me on this path, both in business as well as fitness, was a kind of a turning point in my life was reading the classic book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill.
Yep.
After reading that, my initial plan was to be a millionaire by the time I was 25. I'm 31 now, still don't have the million, but you know what? I am on the path. I know I'm going to get there. There's nothing that's going to stop me. It's like as sure in my mind as the sun coming up in the morning. It's just, you know, the matter of time of how long that takes.
Yeah.
And I think that's important. I was a little, I guess, ambitious, and, you know, I was just getting started with this stuff, so I didn't quite have the foresight to know how that would happen. But a lot of the other stuff he talks about in that book, like having that burning desire, having the faith that it's going to happen, all the different steps in there that put me on the path. And I say the same thing for my fitness too. I mean, that's why I really got involved in the mental training, because I saw the parallels between doing really good at this thing with what the concepts behind. You can use that for becoming rich, or you can use it for all sorts of other things. I actually just wrote a little bit about what he talks about in there, sex transmutation, and how you can use that energy in the gym as well. Mm-hmm. So it's really important that you learn these foundational components, and then the application of them can really be whatever sort of context that you want. But you have to you need those foundational things. You're not going to accomplish anything without them. At least I know that I personally have not been able to. So I feel they're really important. That was why it was a turning point for my life, because I went from a person that was kind of reactive to the world around me. You know, I didn't have control. I just things happened, and, you know, it wasn't necessarily that good. But then I learned, okay, I can take self-responsibility. And I know this is something we've talked about a lot on other shows, but once you take that self-responsibility, then you're responsible for whatever you want. So you're responsible for your strength, your health, your fitness, your financial life, your business. You're responsible for these things. And the flip side of that great Spider-Man quote is, with great responsibility comes mm-hmm. great power.
I totally agree. I'll tell you, I think I've told you this, so I've said on the show, anybody that comes to train here, they are required to buy Think and Grow Rich.
Oh, yes?
That's the way it is. I've read that book so many times, the binding literally is split in the pages I got to push in, and I will not part with that because that book means so much to me. Yeah, could I go out and buy another one? Yeah, but it's not the same book. I've got blood, sweat, and tears laying on that book. I got – that was – one of my favorite teacher, I talk about him at the end of the show, Frank Klein. He was one of the main business teachers I had in college. You had to take that book and know it front to back. If I was a guy that, and I don't know if I've ever talked to you about it, but I've talked to other people on the show, if I ever had a school or was part of something, that would be, the children would all be taught finances, and people would be, oh my God, you know, I got news for you. A book like Think and Grow Rich might teach you some financial areas, which it does, but you hit it. The concepts alone there will take you through life and create whatever you want with your life. As with you, Logan, I plan on being a multimillionaire. If I can stretch it, and I don't like even saying the words, if I will go for a billionaire. That is what's on my mind. And I've had people say, well, does that matter? Yes, it does matter. I'll tell you why it does. Money, I hate to tell people, allows you to do things. You know, you want to go out and buy new equipment for your podcast. Well, you need money. You want to travel to Iceland, Scotland, and Wales and run your show there and have the best time of your life and bring people with you. Costs money. All right, you want to go out and say you want to help somebody in your family or your best friend. Costs money. All right, so There's not an issue with money, and kids need to learn these things. But Think and Grow Rich, I bought it for my niece's 14th birthday. She just turned 14 in this past January. She'll be going on 15. I said, it's time you learn now, and it's time you learn principles of how to act and how to conduct yourself. And that is the original winner. I believe that was written in the 30s. You know, we've got a lot of great speakers out there. A lot of people have written some great material. But it was Think and Grow Rich, in my opinion, that started and fostered everything. A guy that I love to listen to, he's real old school, if anybody's very interested, is Dennis Waitley. Excellent, excellent guy. Psychology of Winning. You go out and listen to that, that will sure turn your head around too. Very important. I do two things. I either read for a half an hour the minute I get up in the morning, or at night too, I'll read for a half an hour, or I'll listen to something with some of these gentlemen for a half hour, depending on what time looks like. But you should always wake up when you're really wide open mentally, and it's always very good to dream on stuff like that when you're asleep. So that's my thing there. Now, secondly, too, besides Think and Grow Rich, repetition is a big thing. Frank Klein used to say to us in college all the time, repetition, repetition, repetition. That sure beats, I quit, I quit, I quit. All right? And the idea here, I mean, it was to the point when, you know, he was my college professor. I mean, he'd say that so much, I was like, I want to say to him, will you shut up? I mean, it was, but I sit here today talking to Logan and all of you out there. Those are some of the best words anybody ever laid on my brain. Because you would be surprised. How do you get good in business? Repetition. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter how many changes you make. It doesn't matter how many things you write. Repetition. All right? If you can't do repetition, you're not going to make it with that. And these are all things I've learned from business. And not only business, business carries in the life. Life carries back in the business. It's not void of one or the other. It's just like when we talk about training. I've gotten into this crap with people so many times. Blah, 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 blah. I'll be like, yeah, the weights are at the house. The rocks are on the ground at the house. But just because you don't see me with them physically doesn't mean I'm still not there and they're not here. Well, I don't understand that. You know, when you get done lifting, you're done. I said, well, if that's the way you think, then you don't understand the value of lifting weights, stones, kettlebells, whatever we want to put on it. You have no idea. That's why we see people's success fleeting all the time. And I believe this is one of the reasons why we have the quitting phase so much now. If you don't develop and you don't understand what you're doing, and it's not just going to happen in a week or 10 days or 90 days. This is a lifetime. I am a weightlifter / stone lifter and whatever else you want to add to it. I am an entrepreneur, and this is me. This is my life. This is what I want to do in my life, and neither are void of one another. If you can come to that conclusion with what you do, hey, Logan's 31. He didn't make his million at 25, but he'll make his million within the next few years, I'm sure of it, because he's got a work ethic, and obviously he's got no holes barred. No matter what happens, he's committed. He's going to take the steps necessary to become the winner he wants to be. It's the same way with Eric. And I try as hard as I can to push this on everybody out there because this is very important stuff we are talking about today. This might be one of the most important shows Logan and I have ever done because he's the only guy I've ever talked to here about quitting and what needs to be done and how it needs to be stopped. Logan, add anything you want to it. Give out your information. And if you'd stay on the line, please, I would appreciate it. Take your time, whatever you want to add.
For sure. To your point there, obviously I've read the book, but I used to work at a grocery store and I'd have my headphones in while I was stocking the shelves. And I'd listen to you over and over and over again, Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich, as well as seminars from Jim Rohn and Brian Tracy.
Oh, yeah.
Basically contemporaries of Dennis Waitley, as you mentioned. Yep. And I saturated myself. It was repetition of this. And I really see that was laying that foundation. I had no clue how I was going to make any money or do any of the things I wanted to do, but I was building that foundation there. then when I saw the opportunities start to come, I took action towards them. And like I said, 10 years later, whatever, it's been longer than that, you know, I'm starting to see some pretty good results at this stage. Yeah. And obviously, it's been a fun journey along the way. Just to wrap up on the point of quitting, right? We're talking about these great books and different things. Well, you're not reading a book of someone that quit writing that book. your idols in the strength world aren't people that quit training, are yep. they, right?
Yep.
So I'm sure we're preaching to the choir, right? You didn't quit listening to this podcast half an hour ago, so you're sticking with us to the end. It can't even like enter into your mindset. There really is no quitting. It's like, is this working for me? No. Okay. Let me find another approach to it. If you take that attitude into life with that self-responsibility, you will be successful. You just then need to find the right way in which to do things, of which are tend to be many different ways. So I think that's
good. Well, something, Logan, I forgot to ask you this.
Yeah.
And I think it's very important of what we're talking about. You know, like you said, you've had your ups and downs. I'm very honest about a lot of the stuff that I've gone through because I feel it's something that people need to hear. I want to know both sides of the coin because a lot of times you don't get that, and I don't like that. It's been pulled on me a number of times, and I won't do that to anybody. You know, you and I, we've gone through different things, and we're going to keep going through things. We're going to have great days, we're going to have bumps in the road, and we're going to have an abyss you fall down, and you got to come back up out of it. Do you think, whether it's, you know, is it genetic? Is it the way you were brought up? Is it the weightlifting? Is it the listening to the experts we talked about? Is there something inherent in people like us that just don't know how to quit? I mean, what do you, I mean, and I know we've got a time thing here, but can you sum that up? What I've always looked for that, you know, I can come up with a million words, but can you put a thumb on what that is that it revolves in people like us where we really don't know enough to quit something we're so passionate and so much we love, and we know the dangers and all that, but yet we still strive to be extraordinary rather than ordinary. Is there anything you would add to that? What do you feel?
Yeah, it's hard to say. I don't think it's any one thing. I think it's a combination of different things. So, yeah, there's probably some sort of genetic component. There's definitely an upbringing component. But there's also, like, based on your upbringing, you could go the exact opposite way that it could be the flip side of that. So it can be from the books you read or the people that you hang out with. I don't think there's any one place that you're going to get it or not going to get it.
Yep.
But I'd say, it comes down to believing that this is the way that, you know, I'm going to make things work and it's going to work out for me. And therefore, I'm going to keep going no matter what happens. And I don't think it's either necessarily a black or white thing either, right? You know, a person can say that, then 20 years later, they're still not getting results, they're still trying. Maybe they're going to quit at that point. So it's hard to say exactly, but I really think, as all things tend to be, it's not one thing. It's not simple. There are a lot of factors involved.
Yeah, I think I definitely agree with that. But I also think one thing. As I was listening to Les Brown this morning too when I got up. There is one thing that's very interesting, and obviously, you know, Think and Grow Rich. It's basically this: when you are very in tune with things and you feel that you're on to something that you want to do the rest of your life, and you're just so passionate about everything, this is a deal. The people that you need suddenly come into your life. Like I told you, some stuff with the website, you know, I've been thinking about that. You know, who's going to come into my life? Who am I going to ask questions to? Who's going to do this and that? These things are something that happens, and it will happen to you a lot if you let it. When you put the question out there and you learn to calm your mind and you learn to try to think, and I don't like that word try, you learn to think in a way that's going to direct this type of, I will say, energy towards you, because everything vibrates. We talk about vibrations. That stuff is coming to you in a big way. Now, you can have vibrations that are terrible by what you're thinking about, or you can have the things that will come to you, and suddenly you'll say, I just thought of that, or this person will contact you out of the blue, and you're like, where did that come from? Well, that came from all that type of thinking. So, Logan, give out your, if you want to add that, be my guest. Otherwise, give out all your info. I'll give mine and hang on the line, please.
All right. Yeah, no, agree with you completely there. So, people, check out some more at legendarystrength.com. Really, if you want to dive further into the mental training side of thing, that's probably the number one thing I have to offer that not a lot of other people out there are offering, including some stuff like I just did the release the hypnotic track on mental toughness. So
nice.
I know we touched upon that on this call. So how, regardless of where you're starting at, how you can use what you've done in the past in order to just increase that mental toughness. And yeah, that's a fun thing. So that's at legendarystrength.com. And check out the wonderful herbs that will support your health and performance at LostEmpireHerbs.com.
Okay. This is Motivation Muscle streaming radio 24/7. Go out to MotivationAndMuscle.com. Download the two ebooks, The Top 10 Ways to Build Mind and Muscle. That's all revamped. That's 5 bullet points to each paragraph. And the 30-day program, too. It's the first time I've ever put in a conventional lift with a power rack lift with it. And also in the middle of the week, it's Sandbag Mania. So all you got to do is give your email address, and you'll get those two free downloads. Also, go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. As I said, go out and look at just all the shows Logan and I have done. I'm going to get this show up within the next 2 days, so it'll be nice and fresh because Logan hasn't been on in a while, and I know people will appreciate having him back here. And with what we went over today, this might have been some of the best material he and I have ever done. Very fresh sounding, and definitely right to the point. Also, too, go out to, if there's a show you like Logan and I do, Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.R.com, and I'll leave you with these things. Number one, if someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give them words of inspiration. 5 words can change your life. If you think I'm kidding, try it. Also, too, as my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. If you're going to lift it, bend it, break it, press it, push it, pull it, squat it. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. And as the great Hoosa Steel Stone Crusher says, in blood red, domination, we are domination. We clear cut the path. We follow no one's. Also, everything I write says dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. I live by these 3 words, believe me. They will help you through anything. Also, too, no one will ever clip our balls. And as Russell Fur says, who's been listening to Eminem from the beginning and who was also a guest here, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. We will say that, Russell, for the next 28 years here. And I'm going to put up Dr. Wong's podcast tomorrow. This will obviously the most gritty show we've ever done. It sounded like a battlefield going on when we were doing this. It was that intense. And it's going to be called Sheeple or Spartan. So you can imagine what we are hitting on Friday. So he will be up, and then Logan will be following him the day after. Just incredible stuff. Also, too, as I said about my teacher, Frank Klein, in college, he was one of the greatest, I mean, teachers I've ever had. And I said before, repetition, repetition, repetition. My dad, may he rest in peace, be a leader, not a follower. And he was from Boston, and I wish I could do his accent because I can hear it in my head right now. It cracks me up. But he was dead serious, man. Be a leader, not a follower. Another father figure to me who was was one of the greatest people to me. My dad was long gone before I met John Ridge, who was my chiropractor for years. We lost him 2 years ago to cancer. He was very influential in really pushing me with this business. And he used to walk every patient to the door, no matter how busy he was. He said 2 words, keep smiling. I dare you to say that to yourself and not smile. John, like my dad and Frank, I miss all of you. And I know you're watching down wherever you are, but I can't wait. And it's not going to be for a long time, but it's sure as hell going to be great to meet up with you again. And especially the biggest thing will be to see my brother Jimmy standing there on his 2 legs instead of being in a wheelchair. Yeah, I think about it every day. So we'll see you soon, probably another 50 or 60 years, so hold on. Also, too, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. And tell 100 of your friends about us or more. We're not going to knock on your door. We're going to kick the fucking thing right in. Be part of our family. Join our revolution. Anybody that's followed me, you would not believe what's going on with Motivation and Muscle. It's absolutely incredible. I thank people like Logan and all our guests. I call them all family and all of our family of listeners. I couldn't do it without you folks. And I say thank you as much as I can. It's a heartfelt thank you. Logan, thanks for coming back. It was a hell of a show. Good to have you back, brother.
Yeah, good to be back.
Thank you.
I agree. It was a great show.
Thank you. So we're going to get Logan on. It probably will be the first of the year because I'm going to be off pretty much for most of December due to a lot of business dealings. And it'll be the first time I gave my voice a rest in over 2 years. And we've been doing 9 to 15 shows. Sometimes we even did a 16th show in a week. The old vocal cords need to be taken care of. So that's that. So for Logan Christopher, this is Eric Fiorello. We will talk soon. Remember this. As great Les Brown says, you all have greatness in you. We'll go a little further. We believe in you. Go out and do something magnificent. Be extraordinary, not ordinary. We will talk soon, everybody, and thanks for listening.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.